Lord Jesus, as we ponder the most significant event in history, give us eyes to see and ears to hear, not just its relevancy for today, but its power for our world. Not just in comfort, but in victory. Give us a sense of all that you accomplished on this resurrection day this morning. Amen. What a man. What a man was Jesus. What a man. What an astonishing human being. What an astonishing leader. A world leader. Wouldn't you want Jesus as your prime minister, as your president, as your king? Wouldn't you want him? What an incredible human being. He was both a lover and a liberator. I mean, do you remember when he healed the paralytic? He was speaking to all these people in his home. They were crowding around and some friends. The only way they could get their friend to see Jesus was through the roof. Do you remember that? And so they dragged this paralytic man and they broke over the tiles and they lowered him down and there he was. And Jesus was a lover. He loved people so much that he would restore them and heal them. But not only heal them, but liberate them. You see, he said, go and sin no more. He didn't leave people in this state. Sometimes human love here is just inactive. Oh, we just love you. Jesus' love draws out the best in people. He takes people on a journey and gives them such sustenance. He loved people enough not to leave them in their situation, whether that was their worldview, their mindset, their religiosity, or their physical frame or their needs. He loved people but took them somewhere. That's true love. What about the woman at the well? To love her and then take her along. What about the woman in John 8? And everybody's throwing stones. Or want to. And Jesus says don't. And rescues this poor woman. And says, no one, Lord. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Jesus is a lover and a liberator. That's good. Jesus was both frugal and generous. Do you remember? Do you remember the 5,000? Do you remember them preaching all day? And Jesus, the disciples say, well, send them home. And Jesus goes, actually, they haven't eaten all day. You feed them. Philip, you take them. Oh, I'm a bit short today, Jesus. We wouldn't have enough. And this little boy came up with a few loaves and a few fish and sit down. He fed 5,000 plus, probably 10,000 people that day. The generosity of heaven. He tapped into the resources, the wealth of heaven for his people. And yet was very, very frugal in life. Apparently, he lived outside of a home. He says, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. How could it be that the King of heaven came down and existed without a mortgage? Or a lease. He went where he was. He was able to do that. He was frugal. And yet so generous, tapping into the resources of heaven over his life. What a man. What a leader. He was both the progressive and the conservative. Oh, that silenced the crowd. Remember when he challenged the establishment? Progressive. Healing on the Sabbath, a number of times. He would push back against the status quo and the religiosity of the day. He said, hang on, who wouldn't look after their animal on a day like this? Come here. And many times he would heal on the holy day when the religiosity, when the rules of the day said, no, don't do that. He pushed against it. Jesus, the progressive. Yet, and Jesus, the one who upheld timeless God-given traditions. Upheld the things like the Ten Commandments, Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, his male servant, his female servant, his ox, his donkey, etc. Jesus upheld the timeless things that had been delivered by God himself, conservative to the core. What a man. What a leader, able to navigate those two things, giving taxes to Caesar and yet to the treasury in the temple, bamboozling the wisdom of the day. What a man, what a leader. Who wouldn't want to follow him in that day? And thousands did. They flocked after him. He was both fully God and fully man. Did you know that? Completely God. I mean, he was able to raise people from the dead. Do you remember Lazarus? Do you remember how when he heard about Lazarus being sick, he said, I'm going to wait a few days. He's my friend. He'll be fine. Lazarus dies. They bury him in a cave for 4 days. Jesus goes, no matter. It's all right. Come. No, Jesus. He's been dead. He's going to smell. Don't open that door. Jesus, the God, walked in there. He says, Lazarus, come forth. Come out. Lazarus. Only God can raise from the dead. Not just Lazarus, Jairus' daughter, a number of times. Even the dead people heard his voice. What a man. What a ruler. Fully God. He was able to command the waves and the wind. Do you remember the time in the boat? And the disciples were panicking. Where was Jesus? Having a snooze in a storm. Thank you, Jesus. Don't you notice? We're drowning down here. Jesus, don't you realize we're perishing? Don't you know how? Hey, waves, be still. Hey, storm, stop. Only God can do that. Only God can command the weather. Jesus, fully God, able to raise the dead, to have authority over nature itself. And yet completely human. He got tired, slept, got hungry, got angry. Human emotion. What a man. Wouldn't you want to follow a man like that? And maybe these were the conversations that his friends were having. I'm talking Saturday night. You know, Jesus is executed on the cross on a Friday. I wonder where the disciples are. The scriptures doesn't actually tell us, but I'm making this bit up, okay? But maybe they're together around a fire going, hey, do you remember when? Hey, remember when he did that thing with the waves and the wind? Hey, Philip, remember when he said to feed the 5,000? And you said, no, and he did. Remember his love for us. Remember he looked at us. Remember that woman where he said, just sat by the well and shared a story. And can you imagine the story after story that they would be telling each other? Remember that. Oh, yeah. Oh, and remember how he called me from a meaningless life and gave me purpose and hope. Remember when he just looked at me and smiled. Remember that gaze? Oh, it's such a pity he's gone. What do we do now? I mean, he would have been the best king. I mean, he could have overthrown the Romans. I mean, what was he thinking? Why did he let that happen? He could have been. I mean, even today, doesn't our world need such a leader? Yeah. I mean, I went shopping yesterday. I just forget that people go crazy on Easter in the shops, you know, because they've had a day off shopping Friday. Right? I just wandered in to get a few things. I thought, what's going on here? You know, like, and there's races, there's people in town, there's madness. And I saw this, I just saw people after people. I mean, I see this young mum, this poor young mum had four little boys, and I felt for her. So I know what that's like, lady. And she had one on a stroller, one hanging off the stroller, one running over there, one running over there. And she's going, come. And I just felt for her. Just was ready to catch one of these boys who were darting everywhere. And I thought, this lady, if she knew who loved her, who could help her parent. I looked at bored teenagers running through the shopping centre, just no hope, no purpose, just trying to annoy people. I looked at older folk with glazed eyes, just walking, just doing the shuffle, the big W shuffle. It's the Gruen transfer, right? The amount of time it takes for you to get into that zone of the shopping centre. You know, I see a daze. Oh, that looks like a goodbye. Oh, yeah, like the noise, the music, the lights, the people. And you just forget who you are and what you're doing and you buy anything. It's true. It's what it is, the Gruen transfer. People in the Gruen transfer. Easter. Oh, Easter buns. Oh, I've already got 1,000 eggs. Well, maybe I need some more. Sunday. Oh, it's some Easter. Yeah. And so the queue at the checkout. People need Jesus. Like what? What if they knew Jesus? Shops full of stuff that most of us never really need. And then there's all these other issues. I mean, bigger issues like financial issues and interest rates rising and rental crisis. How do we work with that? Challenging facing modern work and careers. How do we navigate the world? You know, the technology revolution that just keeps progressing. Moore's Law doubles every year. You know, the generative AI, ChatGPT. Where is it going? Where is it doing? A militant woke atheism that's seeking to undo so much good in our world. How do we say enough? What if we still had a leader like Jesus? What if he was still around? Wouldn't that be awesome? What a man, what a leader. Hang on. You read something from John 20 that just piqued my interest. I remember reading something this morning. Something about the resurrection. Hang on. We might be okay. Now on the first day, it's John 20 verse 1, now, on the first day of the week, the first day, that's Sunday. On the first day of the week, just today, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. This lady who'd lost her Jesus came while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, John. The other disciple. And he said, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb and we do not know where they've laid him. So Peter, always the first, right? Alpha Peter, went out with the other disciple, John, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. I love it. John's saying, I won. I beat him. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. But then Peter, he's unfit, came in following him and went into the tomb, right? John looks in, but Peter goes in. Watch this. John looks in, Peter goes in. And he saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Folded up. Jesus folded his things up before he left the room. (Laughter) he bothered to make his bed. And the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, this is John, and he saw and believed. Hang on, there's something about the resurrection. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. And then the disciples went back to their homes. This is the oddest story. It's like they go, he must have risen. I'm just going to go home. What is this? But Mary, thank God for the women. Honestly. Thank God for Mary. She stood weeping outside the tomb, but as she wept, she stooped to look in, right? She looked in. She's tears. Where's my Jesus? The others don't care. Oh, I don't know what's happening. Jesus, Mary, where's my Jesus? And they said to her, and she saw two angels in white sitting there where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head, one at the foot. And they said, woman, why are you weeping? Why? She said to them, they've taken away my Lord. I mean, shouldn't you have said, what's an angel doing in there? Hang on. Whoa. She's so consumed by grief. She goes, oh, angels, all right. But I've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him. And having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. Hey, Jesus. No, she didn't even recognize Jesus. She says, Jesus said, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? And supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, sir, if you've carried him away, if you know where you've put him, tell me, and I will take him away. Listen to this. And Jesus said to her, Mary. Mary. Jesus said to her, your name. Sarah, Rosemary, Ben, Colin. But she said it, he said it in such a way that cut through the grief and the turmoil and the pain. And she said, don't cling to me. Like, don't hug me. You can imagine the response. I'm kind of in between earth and heaven, and I don't know what kind of body I've got, but don't hug me. I'm in a resurrected body, but I haven't yet gone up. But I have not ascended, but go to my brothers. My brothers. Not my servants, my disciples, my brothers. And say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And Mary went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. You see, the others didn't see the Lord. They looked in, they went in, they scratched their heads, but they went away. But Mary, she's seen the Lord. An encounter. An encounter. A connection. I've seen him. I'm getting somewhere. Stay with me. He's alive. He says, our leader is alive. And today, guess what? He's alive. We don't have a dead God. Come on. We don't have to look and stoop inside the tomb because what you'll see in the tomb has gone. You don't have to look at dead religion or morality or just trying to kind of leave in that space. It's not going to work. You need an encounter with the living God like Mary. And you will get it. You go, ah. He's alive, and I therefore am going to run and tell my friends that he's alive. He's alive, and he can still lead us. He has the answer for my shopping center family with four boys running around. He's got the answer. For the people with glazed looks walking through Big W, not knowing quite what they're there for, but he has the answer to lead them. If only they would encounter Jesus and meet him and run after him. All it takes to encounter Jesus, because that's the question, isn't it? How can I encounter this Jesus? It's a daily or even an hourly or minute by minute connection. You and I have that access. You and I have that privilege. Wouldn't it be awesome? Jesus, what do I do now? Huh, actually, I could ask that question. What do I do now? And Jesus will lead you and guide you. Like, what should I do with this massive problem that I cannot solve right now? Ah, Jesus, lead me, guide me, King of the universe, the living God who understands all things because he made all things and owns all things. He'll help you in life. He'll help you with being a teenager. He'll help you with being a 47-year-old. He'll help you in every stage of life if only we could seek him and look out for him. If you think that the Christian faith is just a set of rules to follow or a moral code, you've missed out. You're not living with the encounter of Jesus. Let me read you a quote as I start to wrap up here. Greg Sheridan is an author. He's actually the political editor in the Australian newspaper. One of my favorite writers. He wrote this in yesterday's paper. In fact, Christianity is a supernatural religion with vast spiritual and eternal claims. Everything about it is radical and a bit wild. Christianity is a faith that offers comfort and acceptance, commitment, life change, prayer, forgiveness, and the unnatural practice of putting others first. It provides space for all the passionate heroism, meaning, and destiny life can contrive. It's bold, not bland. Don't you love that? It provides space for all the passionate heroism, meaning, and destiny life can contrive. It's bold and not bland. So who's ready? Who's ready to encounter this Jesus today? Don't let another Easter go by of just trying to understand the resurrection. No, live in the encounter of Christ. Day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. Who's ready to step forward and into this life every day encountering the risen Christ? Stop looking into the tombs. You won't find answers in the dead. You find answers in the living. Nothing else, no other principle, no other worldview, no other religion has the living faith that Jesus offers. It's all a fake, but Jesus brings all of that to life. So you ready? Close your eyes. Can you actually stand up with me if you can? I'm going to jump up on this machine. And I want to pray a prayer. I want you to picture yourself with Mary. I want you to picture yourself coming and discovering that Jesus is not there. Then turning around and he calls your name. Just picture him speaking your name. Not judging. He's not condemning you. His eyes are full of love. Heart is full of compassion, and his face is the kindest you'll ever see. And he just calls your name, Jesus. I want you to reach out to him. I want you to call out, Jesus, come. Say, Jesus, Jesus, come. Let me live every day in your ways. Let me follow you. Let me offer my life to you. Let me be part of your world. Oh, Jesus, come. might sing this song in a second. I want you to take just some time before we rush into the rest of Easter. But I want you to encounter Jesus. That's the only message I've got today. Encounter him. It's the same message we've been preaching all month. Encounter means to meet him, to experience him, to know his touch, to feel his breath, to know his voice. As we sing this song over you, and you're welcome to join in, I want you to take a moment, just picture Jesus in front of you like he appeared to Mary. Connect with him. Give your heart to him. And you know what? All you got to do is the same thing every day. The day you wake up, Jesus,